Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray and Rock God Rick Maxa.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the mighty 1090. We're here with the band, Captain Mark Wish of Pacific Edge. We are talking all things fishing today. We're talking fishing. We're talking bait tanks. We're talking tackle. And we're talking to you. If you want to be a part of the second hour here on Let's Talk Hookup, there's two ways that you can join us. The best and easiest is with our local line. That's 858 area code 457-1090. Again, 858-457-1090. That's our local number. Or you can reach us toll-free. That toll-free line is 877-792-1090. One more time, 877-792-1090. Not only are we taking your phone calls, answering all kinds of questions today, we are also giving away a couple of great prizes, first of which is a three-quarter day trip aboard the San Diego at a C4 Sport Fishing, your opportunity to fish with Captain Ryan Bostian and get in on what might be one of the best years of three-quarter day fishing I can ever remember. Limits of yellowtail has been the norm this last week. Also opportunities of catching bluefin tuna. There's so much great fishing going on that three-quarter day at a C4th, and you're going to get your chance at winning one of those tickets at the end of the show today. And in addition to that, another prize that's going to that same lucky caller is going to win a ticket to go to that great craft beer and food festival that's supporting CCA. It's a CCA San Diego event. It's Saturday, August the 26th, 2017, from 5:30 to 9:30 at Portuguese Hall. If you want more information, you can just jump on to ccacal.org. You'll see it right up on the front page, the craft beer and food festival, and it's a great opportunity. We really want to thank our good buddy Steve Paisel, who pulled money out of his own pocket to buy a ticket to donate to one lucky caller at the end of the show today. So again, if you're not the lucky winner, Saturday, August 26th from 5:30 to 9:30 at Portuguese Hall, and you can get tickets right on the CCA Cal website. And hey, with that, it's time to find out what's biting. It is time for our Catch Report. Today, the Catch Report, sponsored in part by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Fisherman's Processing is San Diego's finest, and that's why they're known as the Fish Pros. And once you try them, you'll be hooked. They'll fillet and vacuum pack your fish exactly to your specs, as well as offer the best in smoked fish, jerky, and their famous tuna burgers. Check fishermansprocessing.com for more details, or you can see them when your trip returns to the San Diego landings. And let's start it off with our good buddy Marcos calling us from C4 Sport Fishing. What's up, Marcos?
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing fantastic. What's going on?
Well, I think you gave a pretty good summary of the San Diego's three-quarter day fishing there. Some great fishing on those trips this week. Yellowtail, bonita, barracuda, bass, dorado, bluefin. Nice mix of fish all around. I mean, it sounds like an overnight trip, and those were our three-quarter day trips. The half days, little change up there. They started fishing for some bonita in the morning. They actually had a very good day on Thursday. They had 109 bonita in the morning. And those fish are in the 4 to 10-pound range, so there's some big fish in there.
Oh, nice.
A little bit of yellowtail there. Not as good yesterday, but they did catch some yellowtail bonito in the afternoon, so nice fishing there. And got a little change up from that rock fishing we've had. But still, like I said, I mean, that'd be a fun day of fishing there with those 100-plus bonito, decent size there. So over nice trips, a nice mix of fish, yellowtail, skipjack, dorado, yellowfin, bluefin. No albacore yet, but, you know, nice mix of fish otherwise there. So definitely check the website, c4thlanding.com. Got that half-day schedule up there. You got the three-quarter days. And we have the Sea Watch running a scattered amount of three-quarter days fishing offshore to take a look around up there. They ran one yesterday, had 51 yellowtail, 14 dorado. So the overnights, one day, day and a half, starting to get some longer trips in there also. And we're scheduling through the month here, a few trips next month. So definitely check that out, c4thlanding.com. Give us a call at the office, 619-224-3383. Come down and visit, say hi. Visit the tackle shop, have a Rock Out Rick breakfast burrito.
Sounds good to me, buddy. Great opportunity and some really, really good fishing. I can't believe that we're seeing that good of fishing on half days and three-quarter days. I mean, obviously, the overnight and day-and-a-half trips speak for themselves, but for the fishing to be that good so close to home, it's an exciting time, Marcos.
Absolutely, like you said. I mean, and this is, you know, it's like saying, oh, it's kind of nice. But, I mean, think of, you know, 5-6 years ago, that would have been spectacular on a three-quarter day for one trip, and now we're seeing it all summer long there. So.
Pretty darn cool. Yeah. Marcos, one more time, shoot us a phone number. Somebody wants to call, get any of the info, and get hooked up with you and the boys here at Seaforth.
619-224-3383. Visit the website, seaforthlanding.com. Make reservations either way, or you can come down and visit us in person.
Thanks, Marcos. Appreciate that, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you then.
All right. Thanks a lot for that. Rick Jensen from Sport Fishing Financials on the line. What's up, Rick?
Hey, how you guys doing? Good morning.
We're doing fantastic. What's going on in the northern Baja zone?
Well, besides northern Baja, we were out for a couple of weeks, my family and I, out in Hawaii, and I just wanted to say, you know, like we keep saying, we're living in the good old times. We were over there swimming with more turtles than I've ever seen in all other trips over there. My son's already seen 4 greenback turtles up here in the surf, and, you know, Pete and I in an early season in March, northern Cortez, sea turtles everywhere, so... That mixed in with the bluefin, the offshore fish here, and everything going on that we have that's a little bit different than normal. I can't really think that we're in an endangered situation and that we're going to have to worry too much about things. And all that being said, with CCA input and taking the bluefin tuna off the endangered list, that's all just great news and more reason for people to support CCA and keep this good times rolling as long as we can here with everything going so well.
Hear, hear, Rick.
And no, we were out at San Clemente Island on Thursday, and we put in our work and dragged the yummy flyer around with a little bit of traffic and some military bumping in there, and worked and didn't get our bite. And, you know, in a big Hatteras boat, we blew a lot of $100 bills on fuel there, but kept pushing and pushing. And by the time the sundowner came around, the fish were breaking, and, you know, some decent 40-pound bluefin came to the line there right before dark.
Nice.
And, you know, all this great fishing. Who can beat some 40-pound bluefin here in the middle of the season in a normal season? So it's all going very well for us.
That's awesome, Rick. Well, certainly good opportunities. And like we said, that big fish, it's trophy hunting. I mean, it's definitely not something that you're going to get every time the boat unties from the dock, but every trip that you don't connect is something hopefully you learn and something you put in the memory banks and some karma you put towards the next one when you go out and you crush them.
Well, we were with the A-team on a 60-foot Hatteras, and we had Jimmy Kingsmill running the boat with 3 pairs of eyes on everything. So you can't count on it every time. But, heck, what's wrong with the end of the day running into the 40-pound bluefin that want to play? You know?
That sounds good to me, buddy. Well, if you want to have somebody keep track of your financials so that you're able to throw hundreds of dollar bills at the gas tank when you need to, how does a guy find you and keep up with everything that's going on at Sport Fishing Financial?
Well, you can find me on the web or on my line at 949-697-6067. That's Selmer, 697-481-1807. But let me give you the report. Good news all up and down Baja. So let's start at Mag Bay with Bob Hoyt on the Wahoo Loco, who filled their boat on a 3-day trip in one day. They found marlin. They found the Wahoo 60 miles out. They got into a little bit of bottom fish on the way back in and loaded the thing with tuna. So lots of good stuff happening down Mag Bay area. Up at Mulahay, there's still some smaller Dorado around, occasional marlin here and there, and the snapper's still going strong. La Bocana up the line there on the Pacific side, there's good fishing for both yellowtail and bigger white sea bass. And Jeff over at Cedros Kayak says that everything's going full speed there. They found the big yellowtail just outside the harbor on Yo-Yo Iron. They've got yellowfin, Dorado, and yellowtail even on the patties around the island. And the biggest news for this week is the inside line for the yellowfin tuna in San Quintin. They're finding the tuna just 9 miles outside of the harbor. Yellowtail are around. It's the right time for white sea bass, so lots of good fishing to be had there. And then up at Ensenada, offshore, yellowtail, Dorado, and barracuda, yellowtail, and big calicos all around the island. So lots going on in the Baja, and good chances to find something, I think, anywhere you can up and down the line there.
Boy, you're not kidding, Rick. Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, when you said you had spent your time in Hawaii, I just figured you weren't able to compile such a great report, and that was as thorough as they get. So appreciate that very much. Lots of good fishing opportunities going on in the northern Baja for sure.
Yeah, we were out for the last few weeks without being able to do a report, but back at work this week, and looking forward to getting back out here in the local waters for the rest of the season.
No doubt, Rick. Well, again, shoot us the information if somebody wants to join you at Sport Fishing Financial and know that they've got a fisherman that's got their back with their finances.
Yeah, you can certainly always call my cell that I threw out there, but my landline, 949-481-1807, and on the web at sportfishingfinancial.com.
Great job, Rick. Appreciate it very much, and we'll look forward to talking next week.
Okay, guys. Take
all
care.
Right, thanks for that very much. And, Mark, I know that we've been talking about it all throughout the show, good fishing going on, but, you know, in terms of the fishdope.com report that you're always so gracious, you know, Mark's like the hub of getting fishing information, and I know that you report to Danny all the time. Danny does a great job. What have been some of the things that our private boaters have been seeing, you know, in addition to just the crazy killer overview that we've been talking about for the first hour of the show?
Well, you know, there's another player near and dear to both of our hearts that we have not talked about.
I already know what you're talking
about. Know what's coming.
But they got a spike on their face.
They got a spike. And, you know, there's more than a few around. Just in the last, you know, week and a half, there's been a big influx of marlin all along the coast from some fish up above Catalina, stretched out, you know, off the east end of Catalina. You know, back in the old days, we only had to go to the east end to the 277, to the 14-mile bank. That was the triangle.
It.
And that was it. I mean, we would make every single season 90% of our trips right there.
Sure.
And it was good fishing. We're talking lots of fish. And it looks like, you know, for a little bit anyway, they're settling in there. There's, you know, there's a good spread of fish between that 152 and a 277 and up even as far as the Avalon Bank there. And there's been some fish off Laguna. There's been some fish around the 209, scattered down around the 9 here. I mean, there's... It looks like we're getting set up for a good marlin season.
That's awesome.
You know, again, it's kind of a high-end, big-game type of thing, you know. But they're just a blast to catch, guys. We've had so much fun chasing them around. So we got that coming, and then...
You know, and speaking to that real quick, because I know you're there, but what a perfect time to do it, because they're such good kelp patty, yellowtail, and dorado fishing that's in kind of the same zone.
Yep.
You go and you go to Pacific Edge, go to a good shop that knows how to get you outfitted with some good marlin gear, some trolling jigs, a casting rod, and then after you have got your fill of kelp patty, yellowtail, dorado, you're in the zone to catch a rad trophy fish. And while looking for a kelp, I'm a big proponent of slowing the boat down so you're not running everywhere at 25 knots because you miss so much. Get yourself at an appropriate marlin trolling speed. You're going to be dragging the jigs around, hopefully snag yourself a striped marlin, but you'll also be at a such more effective speed to look for your next kelp that hopefully you load up on your yellow and dorado.
Well, you got that right. You know, it's so much easier looking. You know, even guys with gyros, you know, they think they can look at 25 knots. Well, the fact is you're still bouncing around hanging on for dear life.
Okay. Yeah,
it's hard, and you miss a lot of what there is to see. So, yeah, what you're talking about there, you know, and a perfect speed for trolling for that marlin and our size of boats there, you know, mid-20s is right in there, you know, 6.8 to 7.2. You don't have to be tearing around really fast, and it's not too bad on fuel that way. And, you know, and then you can get in your binoculars or preferably your gyros, and, you know, you can see those kelps like 2 miles away there when
exactly.
You're not bouncing around too much. You know, and that's another thing, you know, in terms of guys kelping, I mean, I talk to customers all the time. Oh, I go out there, I don't see anything. Well, I got news for you guys. You got to look.
You got to look
really, really hard, nonstop, and you know, having a decent set of binoculars on the boat, you know, a good set of 7x50s is invaluable. I have a pair that I've had for 25, maybe 30 years, a pair of Fujinons that I absolutely love. They're so comfortable, and I've seen so much cool stuff through those Fujinons. I love them. I do have a pair of gyros also, and use those. But just having a good pair of binoculars in a place where you can look is just night and day difference for finding kelps. I mean, it's a game changer. It makes all the difference.
It is not inexpensive to go fishing offshore these days. You know, it's not a cheap hobby. Fuel and permits and bait and tackle and the amount of, and what I'm getting at is the amount of money that you have invested into going, it pales in comparison to buying a pair of good binoculars. And honestly, in my opinion, if you're going to be even halfway serious about going fishing offshore, you need a stabilized pair of binoculars to have. And I'm not trying to say that this is a small amount of money. Man, I work in a tackle store. I don't make a ton of dough. You can't not have a pair of image-stabilized binoculars to be going offshore if you want to be effective about it. It's just a tool you got to have, and you can get a nice pair of Fujinon Techno Stabies for $1,000. You know, you can go down to Baker Marine and get a pair of, you know, Fujinons that elevate your game so much farther. It's just you can't quantify.
I mean, for an offshore guy, you know, over the years we've seen some absolutely stupendous changes in offshore fishing. You know, having a GPS so we knew where the hell we were.
Right.
Is, you know, that's always a good thing. Having two-speed reels so you can, you know, put, you know, real steady, consistent pressure. Having Spectre lines so you can fish with smaller gear. And then having a pair of stabilized binoculars. You know, the gyros are the best. You know, the techno-stabby types are a far improvement over non-stabilized. And these are just game changers.
It is. God, it is.
It's just, you know, I mean, to sit in a, you know, a lot of my background is fishing on bigger boats, and to fish on a bigger boat with a nice, comfortable fly bridge where you can sit there with your feet up on a dashboard and hold the binoculars, you got your elbows on your knees, and you put those gyros up, and you can literally see kelps 2, sometimes 3 miles. You know, you can see a tailor at a mile without even trying, a swordfish if he's flagging at 2 miles. And a lot of times there's three boats between you and the fish, you know, that you see, and they just drive right on by them, and you just slowly turn over. Don't tip your hat by running over there because they're going to say, oh, what's he running on, and he'll figure it out. But, yeah, it's just a different world today. And, you know, we've got all these fantastic tools. That's why we're catching what we're catching.
You're totally right. We have a pair of Fraser Volpe gyro binoculars that we got from Gyro Pros, and they're, I mean – again, the investment is a ton, and I know that it's not something that everybody can justify. And neither my boat partner or I have, you know, kids or things like that take precedence over things like that. So it's an investment that we made, and they're such a huge tool that, you know, if one is good. You know, we have two pairs. We have two pairs on our 25-foot Parker because we have definitely found more fish with those binoculars than any other type of fish locating thing that we have. You know,
no doubt.
You know, obviously you need good electronics for navigation and things like that, but I mean the number of fish that we've caught because of having, I would take my gyros over an up and down every time. That's not saying that that's not an equally important tool, but we have found, you find more fish with your eyes in a boat the size of ours than any other tool you have, no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's just, you got to work hard to catch what there is to catch when it's just, you know, this kind of fishing. Now, you're sitting on a bait grounds fishing sea bass. That's a different
story.
Kind of fish.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other tool that's very important is getting yourself located. And we talk about it all the time. Nothing gets you located like having access to where the fish are biting. And that's what they do at fishdope.com. Danny puts a fantastic report together. Thanks to guys just like the guy sitting right next to me, Mark Wish. And if you want to get your opportunity at joining Fish Dope and saving some bucks to doing it, you can buy in. It's only $160 a year for an entire year of fantastic fishing information. And you can save $20. If you enter the code HOOKUPNOW at checkout. Again, HOOKUPNOW, all lowercase, no space, going to save you $20 on a new membership. And there's just, again, it's one of those tools that you just don't go fishing without, and you don't go fishing without information. Going in the blind just doesn't do it right. And for $160 a year, you can know right where to go and get yourself started. So, again, great information. That's going to wrap up our Catch Report today. The Catch Report sponsored by Gamakatsu Hooks, Japan's leading fish hook. Live or frozen, the most important point to remember when rigging a squid is to use a Gamakatsu Octopus 4X hook. Nothing penetrates deeper or holds tighter. And while it's true that every captain has his own tricks for how to rig a squid, there's no question on which hook to use. That's the Gamakatsu Octopus Hooks. You can get them at your favorite tackle store. Phones are getting packed up, and when we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls, answering your questions. Lots of great stuff coming your way. Again, if you want to get through the local line, it's open right now. It's our only open phone line, 858-457-1090. Also, get us toll-free, 877-792-1090. When we come back, we're going to be taking those phone calls. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mighty 1090.
If you've been searching for that perfect inshore and offshore boat, Defiance is the one. Go far and stay dry is the Defiance slogan. And that is exactly what you get in these overbuilt, trailerable offshore boats. Inland Boat Center has the Defiance you are looking for in stock, ready to fish. A huge 2.5-acre indoor showroom and over 300 new and pre-owned boats for everyone, family-owned and operated. Their customer service is the finest available. They take trades of all types and offer amazing financing deals. Check out Inland Boat Center's inventory of Defiance Pilot House boats online, including the Admiral 22 and the San Juan 25. Solid construction with no wood to ever rot. Defiance boats are built to last. It is the peak of the season, and the Defiance boat deals have never been better. Along with great financing, you could be fishing next week in your new boat for much less than you ever thought possible. Inland Boat Center, 681 East Jacinto in Paris. Check the website for the current inventory and more. Or at inlandboatcenter.com. No matter the fishing conditions, count on the Seaguar family of fluorocarbon leader material to help you catch more fish. Fluoro Premier has a smaller diameter with the highest break strength. Plus, it is super soft. When bites are tough, tie on Fluoro Premier. Blue Label is tough as nails with incredible abrasion resistance and impact strength. And new Pink Label is the choice for tough light conditions, giving you a little more visibility for better line control. Pick up a spool of Seaguar at your favorite tackle dealer or visit Seaguar.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. A spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
This is Greg Stotesbury from AFCO. For more than 58 years, the American Fishing Tackle Company has been recognized as the premier manufacturer of precision-built offshore fishing tackle. AFCO continues this tradition today with an innovative technical fishing clothing line designed and built by fishermen for fishermen. From our next-generation waterproof shorts like Tactical or Stealth to our new anhydrous waterproof jacket and bibs, the entire AFCO clothing line is purpose-built with the latest AFTEC fabrics and features designed to deliver for the demanding angler. To find AFCO products, go to AFCO.com and find a dealer near you.
It's time to get excited about fishing, and Point Loma Sport Fishing has everything you'll need. They offer half-day and three-quarter-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit their website at pointlomasportfishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. A great time for your phone calls. We got a big block and only one line open. Toll free, 877-792-1090. Again, 877-792-1090. Let's jump into these jam-packed phones. We got Mike back on the line. Mike from Point Loma. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for what you do. We love the information you guys give us. Hey, I've got a trip going on the Outrider out of 22nd Street Landing at the end of the month, and I'm a low-profile guy like a Lexer or a Torx or a Trax. Do I need to bring a two-speed on a trip like that?
How long was your trip again?
2.5 day.
And what boat again?
No, 2 days.
Two day on the Outrider.
So you're getting on a boat with plenty of time and a young skipper who loves killing big fish, and you want to know about taking a two-speed reel? I think so.
How many do I take?
Mike, I'm with Mark. I couldn't say yes fast enough.
Yeah, come on. You know, unless this is your charter and you go, no, we want to go to, San Nicolas Island and fish for cods or something. But, yeah, if it's decent weather and he's, you know, it's skipper's calls and what they're going to do, I mean, that kid's a killer. He's gonna go fish some big fish. You better be ready.
Now, what would be, and I know that you know, it doesn't mean that you can necessarily budget to go out and buy a bunch of new gear, but if a guy were going on a two-day right now, and that's a great boat that's going to that zone, more than likely, at least spending one day there trying to catch those big ones, what would be the right rig to bring on that, Mark?
You know, probably, you know, and again, depending on budget, it would either be a Talica two-speed, you know, like a 12 or a 16,
okay,
you know, the medium size, or one of the Penn Fathoms, which is some of the best bang for the buck that there is. Great reels, you know, the 30 is a good one, or the 40, either one. They're not the biggest, not the smallest, kind of in the middle there. And it'll give you the most amount of utility for all different kinds of fishing. But, you know, you want to check with the skipper on that trip. If they want to target that big fish, then you definitely want that bigger grade reel with a minimum of like 80-pound braid, a minimum of 60-pound top shot, to dropping a flat fall on there. Probably 80 is much better, because they're just getting some really big ones on those trips. I think they've got one of the biggest one on a sport boat with a 289 earlier this season.
Crazy.
On there. So, you know, you got to be prepared. So you really want to double check with the captain and see what his plans are. Now, if you're just going to go fish bass at one of the islands, that's a different deal. My guess is he's going to want to put a lot of time in on that tuna fish if they're still around.
And you nailed it. They're catching a few big ones. They are hooking far more, and the gear is just the biggest thing. That's not just the two-speed part of it. I mean, even guys that are appropriately rigged with the right reel, but maybe not having a heavy fluorocarbon leader, or there's, you know, we said it at the very beginning of the show, on a fish that's above 150 pounds, everything needs to be perfect. The hooks, the leader, the line, the rod, the reel, the angler. I mean, everything needs to be done right. And if there's a lot of components that go into that. I mean, there's your backing, your connections, your top shot, your rod, your reel, your flat fall, your leader to your flat fall, the use of appropriate crimps and chafe and swivel, and all of those things need to be right, you know, for the stars to align to catch a fish like that.
You know, and if, again, just check with your captain and see if that's his plan. You know, if you guys are going to go fish bass, you're going to be okay. If not, you know, you're going to be doing the same kind of preparation that you might be doing to go on a 16-day trip to fish Hurricane Bank and Clarion Island, dude. It's the same grade of fish. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, be prepared.
Mike, great phone call. Good luck. Go get that two-speed and go get us a cow. Appreciate it very much. Next up, let's talk to Billy in your hometown, Huntington Beach. What's up, Billy? Welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
Doing
hey,
great.
Billy.
Good morning.
Oh, man, great to be on the show here. So, you know, I've been fishing these bluefin stuff and been very fortunate to catch quite a few of them. But one of the questions I've been having lately is for you, Rick, personally, what do you like better, the treble hook rig on the Yummy or the single hook?
That's a great question, and have just, you know, I mean, we've all, you know, Mark and I were talking about the success you've been having during the show, and I think that, you know, when the right fish eats your Yummy the right way, it doesn't matter what hook is in it. You know, when the thing's choked down and you're having to cut it out of them, it probably doesn't make a bit of difference what hook a guy has in it. With that said, I am over the top a single hook and treble hook guy. I like both the hooks. I like both my hooks coming out of the top of the lure. You know, I don't have any scientific data to back it up, just fishing and rigging it both ways and having hooks pull sometimes and not pull other times. And over the top, I like a big J hook that comes out of the top of the bait, and then a big treble hook that also is in the top of the bait. And I like a 7691 11-0 in the top, and I like that 50 ST76 in the back of the bait. That's my favorite combo. For us, you know, we've caught them other ways, but that's my favorite. We've had a lot of those fish that were just, you know, this year in particular, a lot more fish that are, you know, caught in the snout, or, you know, or right high forward of the face with just one barb of that treble hook that I feel had we had the single, we probably might not have gotten.
Likewise, I kind of feel the same way, you know, and lately I lost a couple of fish, and the last one was one of my bigger ones. And again, you know, you may not remember all the fish you catch, but you certainly remember the ones you lost.
That's for sure.
Now, Billy, we've certainly seen a lot of great success, you know, on, you know, Facebook and things like that. I know you have a 23-foot Parker, I mean, a boat that a lot of us have out there and have spent a lot of time and have caught a lot of big ones. What's your rig, if you don't mind giving it up? How are you liking those things?
Yeah, I have a Parker 2320 with a pilot house with a 225 horsepower four-stroke with the 150-gallon tank. I absolutely love my Parker. I like staying out of the weather. I like the comfort features of just having that big deck space. And, of course, you know, Mark did my bait tank, and that's probably the most biggest asset, you know, I have in that boat that contributes to a lot of my catching. I probably wouldn't want to have any other way in that price range, per se. But I absolutely love my boat. Not looking to upgrade anytime soon unless I kind of win the lottery or something.
That's it.
But I love it. And I think the next project I'm working on, I'm kind of talking to Mark about it, but the new Parkers, they have that extra bait tank in that stern. And it would kind of be of a nice asset if you had, like, you know, a double tank on that little boat. So I'm going to work on that next.
That's awesome. Awesome, Billy. Well, it's been fun watching the successes you had. I know you do a lot with Mark, and he was talking about, you know, getting baits and rigging them right, and it's fun, and I know that you can attest to it because you caught a lot of ones. You definitely don't catch them on every trip, but the more time that you put into it, the more you get dialed in, and your trips seem to be more successful as they go, and that doesn't always mean putting fish in the hatch, but a lot of it comes with time on the water and just
absolutely
reading conditions and getting at it, and I think you've had a great success, and we're really stoked for you.
Awesome. Thank you very much, guys.
All right,
have a wonderful day, and
later,
look forward
Billy.
To all the other calls. All
yeah,
right,
you
later,
got it,
guys.
Buddy. Thanks for the phone call very much. Let's jump right back into the phones. This time we're going to talk to Tom. Connors from Temecula. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, Rakat and Mark. Mark, watching some of the Wicked Tuna broadcasts on, you know, on their broadcasts on the TV. Back east, they're using a green stick down off North Carolina, which basically what they're doing is trolling. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the way they are doing it, but, you know, they have a buoy or something they're pulling back there off of a big pole that sticks up vertical.
It's a real bird. It's a giant bird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm familiar with green sticking. Yeah.
Has anyone thought about moving to that sort of method, you know, with the fishery that we have now?
Let me tell you a story as it was relayed to me either last year or the year before, middle of summer. One of our customers is from Hawaii, very familiar with green stick, and I think it was developed there or certainly fine-tuned there. So he rigged his private boat. He's got a beautiful fiberglass green stick, and the bird that they use, they make them out of like 2 6-foot-long sections of 2x4s with some 2-foot-wide or 2-foot-long sections going crosswise. So it's not like a little bird like you'd put in front of a marlin jig. This is like the real deal. And they put that back a couple hundred yards behind it, and then they suspend the squids off the main line. So this guy gets all geared up, and a very knowledgeable fisherman. He knew exactly what he was doing. And there was some yellowfin tuna off the east end of Catalina, so he thought this is going to be perfect for him. And he goes, he gets all set up, and he's trolling along, and he was working fine until all the other, let's say, morons came to bait his bird. And he had guys running over it, throwing baits at it.
Because it's too, cause you fish it a long ways behind the boat.
Yeah, the bird's like 200 yards behind the boat. So
it was a foamer.
It's a foamer. And he comes in just absolutely losing his mind. This, I've spent all this time and effort and money, and there's like no way in the world you could ever use this in Southern California because of the discourtesy from the other boats. So, yeah. So, yes, it's been tried. I'm sure it would work fantastically if you could somehow have a way to, you know, keep everybody else. Because that bird, you're towing it behind the boat, and I've seen it in videos, and I've seen it in Costa Rica. It makes a hell of a lot of commotion. I mean, it looks exactly like something you want to go throw some bait at.
I'm with you, Tom. It looks so cool, and there's no doubt that our fish would bite it. I mean, that's
no doubt.
There's just 100% no doubt. But it's a very specialized rig, and it's a lot of money too. I mean, green sticks are not cheap.
Yeah. So, as an offshoot from what you're saying, in my Yummy Flyer box right now, along with the Yummy Flyers, there's something else that's rigged up that's typically towed off of a green stick. So there's it's going to be a little kite flying time with something other than a yummy underneath it, and I'll let you guys know how it goes.
All right. Sounds good. We'll be waiting for that. Tom, great phone call. Appreciate it very much. That answer your question for you?
You bet.
All right, buddy.
Thank you very much, guys.
You got it. Thank you. Next up, let's talk to Mike. Mike's calling us from Huntington Beach. What's up, Mike? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. I have a question for Mark. Quite a few years ago, there was some emphasis on adding oxygen to your bait tank via an auxiliary tank and metering it in. And it seemed to be real popular. We're talking a long time ago, but I haven't heard anything about that since. Is there any validity to that, or does anybody even try that anymore?
You know, I've talked to the guys in not as much the East Coast, but the Gulf Coast, and it's a regular thing for them to do because so often their water gets too hot and they keep their bait, you know, they like recirculate the water in a tank because a lot of times where they're putting their bait in isn't exactly where they're fishing. So they shut the system off and then oxygen infuse it while they're getting to where they're going. And then, excuse me, a lot of times where they're fishing, the water is too hot and the bait doesn't do well in it. So in that case, they're using it. Out here, our setup is different. You know, we're just constantly pumping ocean, you know, standard ocean water through there, and the bait's used to that same temperature of water, so it's not the same kind of setup. But it is a common system. You can go, you know, you can look on the internet, you'll find all kinds of oxygen infusing systems, but I've never heard anybody using it here, but they definitely use them in the Gulf Coast a lot.
It probably would make zero difference, but just for the sake of speaking out loud, would that help when your bait is in a harbor, like in your receiver at your slip? Or is that still like that's just constant? There's so much. It's obviously open. You know, well, there's no lack of water there. But the harbors being hotter and things like that,
no.
Are those things that could help it? Or is there so much water that's already there that, you know,
what happens in the harbors? You know, like I get this question from our customers in Huntington Harbor all the time. They want to put a receiver at their dock.
Sure.
If you're in one of the main channel areas or closer to the harbor mouth where there's some current, your bait will do okay. But if you're way up in the back bay where it's, you know, 15 degrees hotter and stagnant, that bait doesn't do well at all. So in that circumstance, you know, maybe the oxygen thing would help a little bit. But, you know, for our normal bait tank stuff, yeah, it doesn't seem to be too much of an issue for us.
That answer your question
good
for
question,
you, Mike?
Though.
Yeah, it does. Thanks
hey,
a lot.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thanks a lot for the phone call. All right, how about next up, we talk to John, and John's calling us from Long Beach this morning. Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Hi, John.
Good morning, gentlemen. I live over here in Belmont Shore, not too far from Mark's store, and I stop in there all the time, and I would just encourage anybody who hasn't been in there to go in and check it out. He's got some pretty good stories, too.
Hey, thanks, John. Yeah, no shortage of stories, you know, it's especially with all the fishing going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, I just wanted to make a comment on that, and you guys are doing a great job. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for it. Appreciate it.
Appreciate that. I'll back that up, too. I really liked when we were going up there to do the bait tank. Obviously, you've got all the killer, you've got very cool, specialized tag. You got everything, obviously, you know, from hooks and sinkers for going on a half-day boat and plastics for going local fishing, but so much cool, specialized stuff, but so over the top. I love your area of all the tanks and all the fittings and everything that you do at Pacific Edge. It's a very, very unique store that is so Southern California.
Yeah, we are very Southern California. We've tried to, you know, years ago I read this little book about 10 secrets of marketing or something like that. You know, my background's marketing. And one of the things that they commented on is that most people try to be too broad brush and that you need to narrow your focus. And we were making a few changes in our business plan at the time, and I was thinking about that, narrowing the focus, and I have done exactly that. We narrowed it right down to target the market that we want to deal with, and we try to do it as best we possibly can. That's not to say we make every single customer happy, because once in a while, we certainly don't. but we try really hard to, you know, be private boat focused.
You are, and you do such a good job, and there's such good information that comes out of Pacific Edge. And when you walk in there, you're talking to a guy that knows it and lives it and breathes it and done it your whole life. And
yep.
And, you know, I mean, we said it multiple times in the show, like when it came time for us to put a tank, that just wasn't even a question. You know, you go to the guy that knows it the best, and that's exactly what you guys are up there. Phones are packed up. It's been a very, very busy show, a great opportunity. We had a couple lines dropped there. If you want to get through, 1-877-457-1090 or 877-792-1090. Let's talk to Ed, who's calling us from Whittier this morning. Hi, Ed. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, Rick and Mike. I had a question about, I've never caught white sea bass here in Southern California. I fish mostly the sport boat. I wanted to know, like, what is the best setup if I'm on a party boat, like an overnighter to Catalina or whatever, what is the best setup for going after white sea bass?
Well, in terms of a rod and reel, something typically like a CalStar 800L, you know, that eight foot rod, kind of medium action, you know, you don't need a real heavy rod. And then, you know, an all-around line would be 30-pound. If you're fishing for trying to target that bigger fish, you know, step it up to braid with a 40-pound top shot, especially if you're fishing, you know, springtime when a lot of times that fish is right on the edge of the kelp, having that braid and a little short top shot of fluorocarbon is that kelp cutter rig you've heard about so much. And not necessary if you're out strictly fishing in deep water. When you're out there on the bait grounds there, you don't really have any obstructions to deal with. But, you know, kind of that mid-range rig with, you know, 30 or 40-pound test and an 8-foot rod and a live squid on the end of it is a good way to go. And, you know, there's still a little bit of fish around. The water's getting warm. It's, you know, nobody's really fishing them much. But some of my friends that are targeting them at Catalina, I mean, they're still actually biting pretty good.
That's cool.
Yeah, nobody's paying attention to them, but they're around. They're biting.
I think about that question a lot, the, you know, what's a good rod to go sea bass fishing with? And I always think about the Mark Wish Special, you know, the rod that you had a lot of influence in building at CalStar years ago, an 800XL with the Trinidad 14.
Yep.
Like the most perfect, if you could put pen and pencil to a rod at the time, that was the best thing ever.
And 15-pound test.
Yeah, and a lead head and a squid, cast it into a turquoise water beach line. I mean, that was it. That was sea bass fishing. And you flash forward to 2017.
It's a different world.
It's a great rod for making your bait with, for sure.
Yep.
and it's just it's been really fun to watch that change of size of fish and how you go about it and how you approach it and the kelp cutter rig versus not and all those things. And that's not to say that rig doesn't still have its place, because it does. That is definitely an arrow that you should have in your quiver. But if you were doing exactly what Ed was talking about, that's probably not the rig
that it
absolutely was years ago.
You know, I work with Leon real close on the design of that 800XL. And it was like Ricky said, it's, you know, for a lot of our light tackle sea bass fishing back then, because the grade of fish was smaller, it was perfect. And Leon is a thank you made to cork-handled 800XL that
cool.
I have to this day, and I still look at them. And I've caught tons of sea bass, including my first 50-pounder on those rods with 15-pound tests. And today, I'd never get that stuff out. There's no, it's like our bluefin thing, you know, except the evolution of sea bass tackle took a few more years. You know, our bluefin thing, I mean, we got hit hard right between the eyes here. Had to learn all this quickly. But, man, today, overall, especially for fishing these coastal fish here, holy cow, we got so many 40, 50, 60-pounders around. It's just crazy.
Back in the day, when a 50-pounder came aboard, I mean, you knew about it. No matter who caught, I mean, it was new. It was a newsworthy event. And
yeah,
now
well,
a,
you got that right.
Now it's a high five. Yeah, nice
I,
one.
I caught my first 50-pounder on a beach in the middle of a bunch of other boats, because there was other boats around that was all fishing the same school. And when I pulled that fish, and it was on 15-pound test, it was a miracle
wow,
I caught it,
yeah.
Tangled up in a kelp. And when I pulled it over the rail, the whole fleet all started cheering. I mean, he didn't see them like that back
cool.
then. It was crazy.
That's awesome. Ed, great phone call. Appreciate it very much. Thanks a lot for that. Next up, let's talk to Tom. He's calling us from West L.A. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, when you were talking about that oxygen infusion tank or pump, using it more in the Gulf than here, I was wondering if that had anything to do with that oil platform explosion.
No, absolutely not. Now, it's just their water quality and the temperature changes of where they catch their bait versus where they fish their bait. It's very hard on their baits. And their deal out there is so different from what we do here. It's like night and day different. But those guys are very sophisticated, and we send tanks out there for guys that are doing that kind of stuff. And so I get a chance to talk to them from time to time, and they know exactly how they're doing, and it's just very, very different than what we do.
That's cool. Great question, Tom. Appreciate it very much. Thanks a lot for that. Jeff in Costa Mesa, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Jeff.
Hey. Good morning, Rick and Captain Mark. Yeah, I was wondering if you guys can elaborate on using the rubber core sinker. You're talking about a 4 ounce a couple of weeks ago, and then I heard one of the captains saying something like a 15 ounce or 12 ounce. Where would you attach it, and how do you do it with the rubber band for
yeah,
guys?
That's not a rubber core sinker. That's a torpedo sinker that's rubber banded onto the line. You just loop the sinker on to the rubber band, and then do a couple half hitches onto the line, and it holds it quite securely. You stretch it out when you tie the hatch hitches, and when it compresses back down, it stays pretty much where you put it.
Not much to it. And,
no.
And, you know, that sinker rig, don't get me wrong, the flat fall is definitely taking the share of the, you know, of the excitement, and rightfully so. Those flat falls work unbelievably well, as proof is in the pudding. You know, so much of that fish, especially those guys that are anchored up on Desperation Reef and even drifting along in the dark and in the gray, the flat fall is a great way to do it. But the rubber-banded torpedo sinker is, if not equally effective, certainly right there with it. I mean, a great way to put a bait into the zone where those big ones are biting. And you get an opportunity at, you know, usually with a sinker rig, you can fish you're fishing deep, you're usually fishing in the dark, you can still get away with heavy line, you can get that fish usually on a bigger circle hook. You know, when you're sinker rig fishing down deep, you oftentimes don't need to be nearly as stealthy as you are trying to put a fly line sardine on the surface.
Well,
you say, Mark?
For sure, yeah. And then the other thing, we fished on the rail time. We had a 2-day charter earlier, and fishing with Gary, who's an extraordinary fisherman. If you ever get a chance, be sure to do it. And we were talking about their bluefin successes last year out there on the Tanner, fishing that rubber band type rig. And one of the tips he has, you know, obviously you're fishing a circle hook, like 4-0, 5-0. That circle hook, and fish it in gear. Don't let them run with a bait. Just by the time they suck that bait down and you pull the slack out of the line, you know, they got it.
That's so just, a good tip.
Just fish it in gear. Don't wind. Let them come tight. When they're pulling drag, you pretty much got them. He said they pulled a lot less hooks than the guys that were
trying to
manage it.
Yeah, that
rod holder in gear.
That's a good call. And I'll tell you the one last thing I'll comment on that, too, is you would not believe what some of those bites feel like if you're on the sport boat and the rod and reel is in your hand and you're fishing a sinker. You know, you're oftentimes expecting this blistering jerk the rod out of your hands. A lot of times the bite starts out like you'd feel a sand bass. Your rod tip kind of shaking and moving, a little bit of pressure. And, you know, obviously as you wind down, you start winding into the pressure and everything comes tight and you're off to the races. But, you know, a lot of times that bite is just tuk, 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 and, you know, and away you go. So pretty darn cool. Jeff, great phone call. Wait, great to wrap it up. Appreciate that very much. Hey, when we come back, we're finding out what lucky guy is going 3-quarter day fishing and going to that great CCA California event at Portuguese Hall. We got more Let's Talk Hookup with Mark Wish of Pacific Edge when we return with Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Everyone knows kites and yummy flyers are the hot item, but do you have the right tackle for that big bite? Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Big fish need big tackle, and that's why we recommend the Shimano Talica 52-speed reel filled with 130-pound PowerPro Hollow Ace and a Shimano Therese 72 double extra heavy rod. At Fisherman's Landing Tackle, we have more experience and expertise on fishing for big local bluefin tuna than anyone else. So why take a chance on your fish of a lifetime? Let us set you up with a Shimano rod and reel that will get the job done. Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew is always looking for ways to improve your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is now a full-service sport fishing operation, offering great half-day and now 3-quarter-day open party trips. Book online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
He's not just my fishing buddy. After 30 years, he's a brother, and I'd sure hate to lose him. His bass boat's got nothing to do with it. So I make sure both of us wear a life jacket. Save the ones you love, even if they don't own a fancy boat. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
When it comes to tackle storage, it's got to be Flambeau. Built to fish, built to last. Check out these new products designed just for anglers. The two new HD Series hard cases with thick customizable foam to protect your electronics when not in use. While the new HD Series tough boxes provide heavy-duty waterproof protection, clear lids and O-ring seals keep water out while letting you see in. Flambeau's patented Z-Rust provides additional protection against rust and corrosion, keeping your valuables safe. For travel, protect your rods with a tough bazooka rod carrier. Available at Turner's Outdoorsman and other fine tackle retailers.
For over five decades, Lee Palm Sport Fishing has set the standard in long-range fishing that they pioneered long ago. The Red Rooster 3 sets a new standard of excellence. The Red Rooster 3 is one of the most modern, quiet, and fastest long-range vessels in the fleet. They have handpicked the finest crew to make your trip a memorable one. The Red Rooster 3 offers trips from 3 to 18 days and runs year-round to the best fishing spots on the planet. Ride the Red Rooster 3 once and you'll be back again. Call the Red Rooster 3 at 619-224-3857 or see them on the web at redrooster3.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. The big winner of the three-quarter day trip on the San Diego out of C4 Sport Fishing, as well as the CCA event in San Diego again, August 26, 5:30 to 9:30 at Portuguese Hall. For tickets, you can jump on to ccacal.org and get your opportunity at that. The big winner is going to Mike in Huntington Beach. Mike, congratulations. You are going to have a blast at the CCA event and a really good time fishing in San Diego. Mark, I can't get over how fast 2 hours can go by BSing and talking fishing with you, but man, we sure appreciate it. I know you guys are so busy at Pacific Edge, and to take the time to do the fantastic reports every week, and especially coming and hanging out, talk fishing with me,
this has
sure
been fun stuff, yeah. Man. I just love it. You know, I never get tired of talking about fishing, you know. It's going on and on and on.
Couldn't agree more. If somebody wants to get more into depth of all the stuff we talked about, bait tanks, tackle, rigging, all the things that a very professional Southern California shop like Pacific Edge does, how's the best way to do it?
We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger by that big Chevron station. The phone number at the store is area code 714-840-4262, and the website, pacificedgetackle.com, where you can see all the different kinds of things we do.
Not a better place in the world to have your bait system done than get your tank from Pacific Edge, for sure. Yummy Flyer, you're hearing all the guys in the know. They go to Mark, and there's a reason for it, and I couldn't recommend enough. Mark, great job. Appreciate it, and we'll look forward to talking to you next Saturday for another great report.
We're going to be there, and it's getting better and better, Ricky.
How about next Saturday you tell us about the 200-pounder that you're going to go catch today after the show?
On that lure we were just discussing that nobody's seen yet.
All right, I'm ready for that. Great job, Mark. Appreciate that. We appreciate you listening. Another great show coming for you tomorrow. We got Carl Schmidt from Fisherman's Landing is going to be joining us. Going to be a great show. Carl is running things in the ticket office in the evening time, but also has worked with me in the tackle store. Very, very knowledgeable about tackle. We worked together in the tackle shop for years, as well as a captain on a lot of the sport boats. He's got a great career working sport boat fishing. Going to be a very, very fun show talking tackle. Talking fishing and talking sport fishing with Carl tomorrow on the show from Fisherman's Landing. Going to be a lot of fun. We'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow morning from 7 to 9 a.m. Big thanks to Ted on the other side of the glass for keeping us going, answering all the phones, and we appreciate you listening. We'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow right here on the Mighty 1090.